Welcome back. So, quick note. Phone lines are open, by the way. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Just a sort of quick note on this discussion about disruptive. You know, we're on the phones. We have Mike in Kentucky on the line. Mike, you brought up the point of disruptive people. And it is a pejorative in my experience. Growing up, I always heard the word disruptive had a negative connotation to it. If you're disruptive, you would probably get disciplined or punished. And by the way, folks, they're not the same. They're not synonymous. Discipline is training. And that's it's an important distinction. Sometimes punishment includes discipline. But I digress. So disruptive was always a pejorative, had a negative connotation. And then as the nerds sort of conquered the world, disruptive became a chic sort of vogue term. And I've mentioned before, now Google, they bragged for a while on Google.com. When you click on about, it's all been restructured after the Alphabet deal. And now Google Ventures has been spun off. You can find more about Google Ventures at gv.com. Imagine that, gv.com. So Google Ventures used to brag. They set aside $300 million a year to find the most disruptive person, not idea, but person. And what do they mean by disruptive? Well, you need to understand disruptive, what the terms disruptive innovation and disruptive technology, disruptive innovation, and disruptive technology. And basically what you come away with is an understanding of a concept that would seek to disrupt markets, essentially, entire vertical markets, not just companies, using technology in particular to sort of upend markets. And so they're looking for people who do that. So the question is, you know, just sort of referring back to your point, Mike, disruptive people, are you the right kind of disruptive or the wrong kind? Because if you're the right kind, in Google's eyes, they have millions of dollars they'd love to throw at you. If you're the wrong kind, well, then maybe Google would like to reprogram you through the selfish ledger. Because remember, from the Verge article, these words, Google imagines a future of total data collection where Google helps nudge users into alignment with their goals, custom prints, or, you know, creates a bespoke solution to collect more data and even guides the behavior of entire populations to solve global problems like poverty and disease. Yeah, right.
The
go ahead, Mike.
Wisdom of the Crowd, I think, was a TV show that didn't go, I don't know, it didn't last very long, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
It might have been a mini series, but yeah, there's that concept. But the I have took an attitude maybe in the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 years of trying to, by hook or by crook, get some of the issues that I've been living with into court. And a couple of things I did got totally ignored, and then somebody else got arrested for it. And you're like, whoa, this is interesting. Because, you know, the discovery process would be shut down, I would imagine, pretty quick. And I probably wouldn't go very far, but it would get thrown out. You know, we can't proceed with this court case for national security reasons or some crap, you know, for fear of you know, revealing sources and methods. But the problems that I'm talking about go back before I knew about William Binney and Snowden, of course. But what I've run into, even with legitimate news stories where it gets talked about, these youngsters have what I like to call, they're facilitating the inner five-year-old. And I ran into this with a five-year-old probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, where that's what they said. I want what I want when I want when I want it. And that's what these phones are doing for people. I noticed this guy was talking about virtual reality and how he had played around with the goggles and all this sort of stuff, and I noticed his phone was one of these knockoff Androids. You know, I said, does that run an Android? Kind of an off-brand phone, isn't it? And yeah, it works great, though. And I said, have you heard about AdUps malware? And this is back when it was hot, you know, on the alternative media that people were going, you know, the different estimates were coming out. I think the last estimate I heard was it was in 900 million or 950 million tablets and phones, and just about all the telemetry was going back to server addresses in China. Now, I don't know where if that's where it ended up. They could have been routed through China. But this kid immediately, just like a knee-jerk conditioned reflex, came back with, I don't care. I don't care who's spying on me, as long as my phone gives me what I want, when I want, how I want it. He sounded just like mm-hmm. a five-year-old. And, you know, that's where these people are in this generation. They don't care about anybody else's privacy. And I didn't say it to him at the time, but I sure felt like going back and saying, hey, guy, don't do grandma's banking on your phone, okay? You know, because it's all going to China if you don't even care to look to see if you have this AdUps malware in your device.
It's pretty astonishing. And so from there, I think, you know, there are a variety of directions you could go. But the short trip to, you know, like I always say, the projects are called the projects for a reason. The engineering of the, you know, planned obsolescence of mankind comes to mind. And, you know, the UBI concept, all of these delicious gifts of socialism come at an unforeseen price to the unwashed masses. And
the Obama phone fractionated so much of the media in this country. It is like a military operation. That's one of the first things you do if you're going to take over a country, is you conquer and or quash and or influence the media. And I think they've done almost like a mirror. It's like, you know, JFK said he was going to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces. They have smashed our media to the point to where you know, a lot of the traditional media is just hanging on by fingernails, and they've tried to get rid of a lot of local, live local media wherever they can. It's, you know, RBN is a rare exception that you can talk this much about this topic. I've been immersed in it for 20-some years and not been allowed to ignore it because of the basic phone problems and interference that I've had. And I even posted a video about it all across the ABC Broadcasting and NBC Broadcasting's file transfer protocol folders all across this country. And I went back weeks later and found where they'd been deleted and reposted them again in the commercial production folders and in the news folders. Well, never heard back from not one reporter. The next summer, they arrested a teenager for doing what they called graffiti in those same folders. You can imagine the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, has told me they don't have enough bandwidth to even consider my. And I called them on the Friday after Jewel versus NSA was thrown out the second time, and I got somebody, it must have been grouchy, low blood sugar over lunch or something. And they're like, oh, well, we don't have the bandwidth to talk to you about it. Well, I've got further evidence. I've got further victims. I've got something that you could add to the case to get it, throw it back in there for reconsideration. You know, just I think it must have been the woman lawyer that was dealing with that case. I don't know. The staff was all laid off or something. But ACLU won't return any emails of any consequence other than their pad thing that, well, you may have a case, but we're not going to even look at it. A big media outlet had somebody in their marketing department affected by this, and she understood it. And she was like, you need to talk to our reporters. And she forwarded me over to a couple of reporters. I told one the whole story, and the next guy, he handed me off. He says, you need to talk to this tech guy. And within probably less than a minute, he started shutting me down and saying, we can't help you with this story. Later I thought, you know, who do you really work for? Are you one of these volunteers for Operation Mockingbird? mm-hmm. Because... yeah, I mean, I don't think people realize the level of the mesh network they've got going here of human intelligence domestically, and mm-hmm. The influence that has on the media, and how they have made it known culturally, you're not gonna do a story about this.
Well, I wouldn't say the influence it has on the media. It is the you know, it is the progenitor, the true progenitor of the message that the media propagates. And you think of A.J. Liebling's quote, freedom of the press is guaranteed to those who own one. So,
yeah. What's his name? The guy that played in Jesus Christ, the Mel Gibson production in Aramaic, Caviezel, Jim Caviezel. I just stumbled across yesterday an interview he did when he was winding up production of A Person of Interest, and he's totally off the internet. He says he's very wary of what he says around phones, and he says, I don't need the internet. I'm not using it. I'm off of it. And he won't be around phones and stuff because he did that show, and he knows the matrix that we're dealing with from the scripts, having to memorize those lines and understand the concepts. And most people are lost.
Again, I would definitely underscore that point with the fact that folks should take a little time. If you don't understand, I mean, if you feel like you look at you know, a list of likes, and I want to get back to that too in this broadcast. But
noise. I think we need to put noise in the database and screw it up. That's what I think. Trade phones with people that you know that have similar contacts. Memorize phone numbers that you need to know, and that way you can use anybody else's phones. And
that's a point that's been made. You know, corrupt the database, but you need to understand how. And there are, you know, math is being used to.
Sure.
Address that issue.
You'll get flags for being a disrupting influencer if you can get other people to go along with you and trade phones. You'll start being flagged, but they'll have too many of us to keep in prison.
Yeah, the point about corrupting the database has been made. It was, you know, speaking of that, one of the most notable and provocative examples of that, in my opinion, was I mentioned the 2011 Digital Privacy Forum from time to time when this subject comes up. And Andrew Rajay, makes the sort of parallel point of flooding the database and tells a story about that I won't recount. But flood or corrupt the database are a couple of points. But if you don't understand the graph database model, then you don't understand why a series of likes is potentially implicatory, I suppose, you know, how that could basically tell on you. So I encourage folks to
like the wrong
find out about that.
Like things that you don't really like. Pollute the database with stuff that doesn't make any sense and becomes useless to them. I mean, there's all kinds of combative things that you could do. So I'm not so sure people should be leaving Facebook or other platforms, but disrupting them. In subtle ways, in very subtle ways, to make their graphs be screwed up.
I think it's a decision for everyone to decide for themselves. And I would leave it at that. But
there's a gun control advocate that made some smart aleck remark. This gun control guy this weekend, I guess it hit the news on the alternative media. And he had posted a graphic that showed, you know, I needed a shotgun for this, you needed a rifle for that, and whatever. He was a gun rights advocate, and this gun control advocate rather snarkily, that's what the story says, snarky remark got him arrested because he simply said, which one do I need to shoot up a kindergarten? Well, then the guy deleted it. But somebody screenshotted the whole thing and sent it to a cousin that was a cop, and he gets arrested because he was being a smart aleck, you know. And so you have to ponder the implications. Well, if I go like this rock group Kiss, are they going to think I'm anti-Semitic because I don't buy dates that are made in Israel? Because I was standing in front of the dates that were made in Israel, and a coupon came on my phone, and I didn't buy them, even though they were cheaper than the Kroger brand. I grabbed the Kroger brand off the shelf. Now I'm flagged as anti-Semitic. You know, boom. People don't understand how this, like you say, it becomes implicative of your personality or whatever. So if you're trading phones with people and you're doing stuff like listening to different radio stations while you're charging your phone than you like, or you're throwing the phone up on the dashboard and turning the defog fan into it so they don't know what you're listening to in the car, things like that, then you can, like you say, pollute the database, disrupt it, put the stuff in there that is not your, doesn't fit your personality. I love to leave Republic Broadcasting on next to phones, just because I know that these things, even though they're sitting on the hook or turned off on a charge base, that they can be listening to the room audio. I have firsthand direct experience with that, and a private detective foo-fooed that for years. Finally, after a five-year-old's phone that mom had bought for them 3 or 4 days before, called and locked up my phone line here, and I had a witness that he believed. He scratched his head and said, you know, I think they're harassing you. So that's a whole other thing, is that they start trying to harass people that are disrupting influencers.
Yeah, there's all kinds of information on that. Anyway, we're going to get back on track. Mike, I appreciate your call, and good points, as always. Thanks. Just a quick note on the mob psychology, the quote misattributed to H.L. Mencken, democracy is the pathetic belief in the collective wisdom of individual ignorance. I forget at the moment who actually said it, but yeah, crowd psychology. We're all smarter when we get together, but we're not. And, you know, another subject, if folks aren't familiar, look into unconventional warfare and see how, it's kind of a jumping off point to all, so many other things: asymmetric warfare, hybrid war, irregular warfare, political warfare, psychological warfare, terrorism, obviously. And what is terrorism? There is no terrorism except for state-sponsored terrorism, so to speak, or certain specific coteries of folks responsible for doing that. And again, Richard Sakwa's words come to mind every time that subject matter arises. Before we go back to the phones, I think it begs mentioning Richard Sakwa right at the opening of Frontline Ukraine back in 2015, page 4. I think he said it all, you know, and this is how everything works these days. All of this stuff, even the stuff that, you know, Mike and I were just discussing, this, you could where he writes NATO, you could read anything: CIA, NSA, DHS, any sort of agency, federal agency, so-called FBI, at all. They all exist to manage the threats created by their existence. So, speaking of NATO and Ukraine, Richard Sakwa, in his book Frontline Ukraine, Crisis in the Borderlands, back in 2015, wrote these words on page 4. Despite repeated warnings by Russia that bringing NATO to its borders would be perceived as a strategic threat of the first order, the momentum of NATO enlargement continued in spite of that warning. In the end, NATO's existence became justified by the need to manage the security threats provoked by its enlargement. A security dilemma, according to Robert Jervis, is when a state takes measures to enhance its own security, but those measures will inevitably be seen as offensive rather than defensive by other states, who then undertake measures to increase their own security and so on, in this case provoking the Ukraine crisis. This fateful geopolitical paradox that NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence provoked a number of conflicts. And it's the same in so many other things. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. So the operative concept that NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence provoked a number of conflicts, as Richard Sacco pointed out. That concept, I would boil it down and distill it to this. The operative concept is P2OG meets R2P, proactive preemptive operations group, you know, stimulating reactions. And then as a result of the reaction that was provoked, oh, we have a responsibility to protect. Well, wait a second. If you wouldn't have been around causing problems, we wouldn't have an issue that needs to be addressed that doesn't really, you know. And so whether it's NATO or, for example, the engineering of the drug problem, there was no drug problem until, you know, Nixon's announcement, basically. And you have all of the history that goes into that. You know, Gary Webb wrote a series of three articles, Dark Alliance, about it. So whether it's that, you know, and the CIA's front guy, Freeway Rick Ross, or whether it's the CIA's front guy in arms trafficking of similar fashion, Albert Hakim, it's always the same story, the same engineering of the same problems, and then allegedly offering some predetermined, predefined, preordained, preorchestrated goal or solution. And it's always failing forward. You know, again, the scenario that Ralph Epperson points out in The Unseen Hand from Jan Kozak's book, the English title, and Not a Shot is Fired, the Communist Strategy for Subverting a Representative Government, that always comes into play. And so it's the same guys engineering the problems, creating the media buzz, getting the unwashed masses whipped up into a frenzy, who are responsible for engineering the crisis and the so-called solution. And that needs to stop. We need to start thinking for ourselves and seeing all of this nonsense. If it, you know, just because you can't necessarily pin it down with facts, names, dates, and all of that, if it feels like a theatrical production, then chances are it is. And there are reasons for that. One, it's suspension of disbelief. You know, it becomes sensationally, you know, incredibly sensationalized and overblown, which suspends disbelief, and it becomes theatrical or a sort of fictional depiction of real events. But also because, you know, as folks like Bertrand Russell pointed out, it's that theatrical performance that lends itself to people talking about it. If it's just boring, like if you're talking about the graph database model, who cares? It's not exciting. It's not sexy. It doesn't titillate the mind the way that the CIA's Hollywood productions do. So anyway, the operative concept is P2OG meets R2P, and it's just that simple. And you see it in all of the engineered crises, both here and abroad. And unfortunately, sometimes they kill the messenger and then 10 years later make a movie about it. That's unfortunate. And so we should band together as people who know better and not let those kinds of things go unnoticed or let them quickly be forgotten, erased from history. Anyway, if we're headed into a break, we'll wait. But if we're not, then we'll... Okay, well, as soon as we come back from the break, we will go back to the phones. Hopefully that makes sense. Seriously, we can't continue to let this happen. This network stands as a sort of bulwark against that. Too many people, you know, we have the work of giants who have gone before us, and that work should survive. It's our, I think, obligation and responsibility to posterity, if not to the folks who have gone before us, to make sure that doesn't disappear. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Second hour of today's broadcast, we need to get back to the phones because calls are stacking up quickly. But so practically speaking, just briefly, what can you do? There are a number of things maybe we could do. For example, I've talked about how some of the apps, Skype, WhatsApp, Signal, Discord, Slack, for example, are all built on ElectronJS. Go to ElectronJS.org. Maybe we get some smart people building things, you know, maybe open source that are not for sale, that Microsoft can't buy and, you know, conscript, co-opt, and all that kind of nonsense. Maybe we stop thinking that it's sexy for loved ones to join the military. Maybe we stop thinking that alphabet soups are sexy when, as Trevor Aronson put it in his TED Talk back in 2015, after studying the, you know, FBI pouring over the case files for a number of years, I've come to the conclusion the FBI is better at creating terrorists than it is at catching them. I don't think that's sexy. That's not cool. That's causing the problems, again, in P2OG meets R2P fashion. So there are some practical things I think we can do to stop some of this stuff. And it starts with our thinking, which obviously bad guys also want to control. Anyway, let's go back to the phones quickly and grab Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Chris. And I certainly appreciated Mike's comments before. If he's still on, I hope that he is. But he's another wise thinker, a guy that, like yourself, widely read, deeply studied. I try to be somewhat like that myself, but as a apparently sheep-dipped former multi-jurist law enforcement professional who has some testimony, first-party confident knowledge of what you were previously speaking to, of I think it was cited in the book Terror Factory, of how the FBI invents terrorists so they can enjoy unjust, egregious enrichment by extorting money out of we the people for so-called catching the terrorists that they create under their false flag operations and psyops, mind-controlled individuals, and psychotropically drug-induced victims of being set up as lone wolf so-called shooters or terrorists, as the case may be. I have recently discovered that I have been, by the adversaries and enemies of liberty and freedom, been placed on the terrorist watch list as a so-called Hot 10, TW8, terrorist watch man, and they claim that the 10 seems to allude to the fact that I want to kill police and judges and other court officials, and the 8 says I'm pretextually suicidal, which I assure you I am neither. Knowing the law that John Badelt versus U.S. and 17 other Supreme Court decisions that tell us that we have not only a right but in fact a duty to repel unlawful arrest of agents and actors acting outside scope, sphere, and color of law, shows me that since I am in the NCIC database, that exactly what you and Mike were discussing earlier of polluting the data stream is really the true value. And if you can devalue, demonetize the data stream by filling it full of preposterous, absurd insanity that innocent men are terrorists, or women, as the case may be, then you have basically denuded and made your formerly somewhat reliable, maybe, databases of international, Interpol, and other databases around the world virtually useless because they have been converted to mere unsubstantiated hearsay because they have unqualified, not vetted, and totally inaccurate, false, unsupported information in there posed as facts. And that's very dangerous to those of us who out here who truly love this country and freedom and liberty and the Creator's plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's certainly, you know, something for some folks to think about. And again, I think that's, you know, it's a personal kind of a, you know, any directional decision is a personal decision in my humble estimation. And, you know, that's when it gets difficult because the social engineers, the guys that, you know, folks like Bernays pointed to, Wilfred Trotter in particular, for example, you know, speaking of herd psychology, I think it was Trotter or it was Le Bon, one of the two, that Gustave Le Bon might have been the guy I'm thinking of, who talked about how in herd psychology, you know, performance art draws attention, and people look to a Pied Piper for a specific reason. And so these social psychologists and psychological engineers studied that kind of stuff, and that's why, you know, again, some of that stuff happens, and it's always provocative to me. One of the quotes, I think, is it attributed to Le Bon, the type of hero dear to a crowd will always have the semblance of a Caesar. His insignia attracts them, his authority overawes them, and his sword instills them with fear. So that's the sort of operative concept anyway.
Very intriguing observation. The maxim that basically one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter becomes a very subjective, interpretive, and dangerous situation because, as we see right now,
pirates and emperors.
Oh, absolutely. We look at the deep state evidenced in the current hearings before the House and Senate and the Judiciary Committees and the examinations of the FISA abuse with Peter Strzok and Page and Ray and the whole entourage, Mueller and Brennan, this whole group of sycophants of the deep state, likely on the senior executive services payroll, I'm guessing. I don't have a complete list of that, so we can't really know what we don't know, but we can certainly suggest by their actions of being these really smug and grinning idiots trying to convince us that they're not biased when they are manifestly biased, as pointed out clearly by Trey Gowdy and Bob Goodlatte and others. This is a really dangerous time for America when the lies can be posed as truth and when they can tell us preposterous absurdities and have us deceived to believe that they have any basis whatsoever other than their own self-protecting, cover their own rear end interest of trying to deceive the people into thinking that they're normal people when they're absolutely demoniacs and probably psychopaths.
Yeah. Good points, Chris. I wish we could talk more, but
thanks,
we got to
so
go
much
back to the phones. We got calls stacking up. I appreciate it. And speaking of lies being passed off as truth, I just find it astonishing. The Planned Parenthood nonsense, it's population control. If anybody wants to do anything with your body, ladies, it's the folks behind Planned Parenthood and the Margaret Sanger sort of impetus behind it, the Jaffe memo sort of impetus. Anyway, when Planned Parenthood says when they're running ads, you know, Donald Trump shouldn't be able to, you know, tell you what you can do with your body. I mean, it's just – it's actually that organization that wants to tell you what to do with it. So, I mean, it's a complete perversion of logic, reality, and truth. And how could anyone trust an organization that would either sanction, author, or endorse such a message? But I digress. Back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Pat.
I was – you can't hear me?
Yeah. Yep, go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
I was thinking about what was it, Mike, the caller you had before your last one there, what he was talking about, and so that's what I called for. There was a book. I mean, it is a book. It's called The Left Leaning Media. It has a TV on the front, and it says it being crushed. I gave that to one of my elderly people, who basically was a Democrat at heart. She was brought up in, you know, the South Texas and thought capitalism was wicked and Mexican heritage sort of. And I gave her that, and she said, "I knew that. I've always known that." So people, even Democrats, she's not a Democrat because of abortion and things like that, but they know what's right and what's wrong. And I don't think that we should so much argue with them and try to show them where they're wrong. But, you know, if you want to be a kitchen warrior, be practical about everything instead of mourn it. When Phil Donahue was on TV at 10 a.m. in the morning, and he had the worst show. He was so pro-witchcraft and so anti-Christian. And the ladies got together, and they published a list of all his sponsors, and they started boycotting them. And to this day, I have a hard time buying that stuff. And the same thing we did with Planned Parenthood, the people that support Planned Parenthood. I mean, there are things that you can do where you don't need to get on a talk show, where you don't need a newspaper.
Yeah.
They're not going to print your letter to the editor. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. You know, and when they had 11,000 people meeting in Tallahassee, and I had a big, huge king size green sheet, and I made it color of money, and I made it like a bill, you know, a Federal Reserve fraud. And I put sponsors on there, a Planned Parenthood. Oh, well, people were putting their kids down, and they let me lay it on the floor, and the kids were running down there with a camera taking pictures of it. I mean, there are things that you can do that that you don't have to be anybody.
Right. Exactly.
One woman took prayer out of school, right?
Well allegedly. Ostensibly, well, yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame on us.
Absolutely.
If we don't do anything. And yep. And so that's what I called about. I know I've heard John Statmiller say they're going to do that to him, terrorize his sponsors or something, you know, but it can work the other way.
Yeah.
Eventually, Soros is going to run out of money funding non-profitable news outlets.
Well, right? But again, he's not... As far as financials are concerned, my conjecture is that there really is no George Soros. He is a Zek who is a useful, Albert Hakim sort of archetype to nefarious forces behind the scenes to fund those sorts of things and make him a figurehead, basically, is all I would say he is.
Well, I did notice that when Obama was president, he went down to Peru or somewhere down there. And gave him $4.1 million.
Yeah.
So, here.
And again, where did it come from and why, right? Anyway.
But it was paid back for sponsoring. See, he gets paid back anyway. If he's a businessman and something's not profitable with sponsors, it's not going to work. Phil Donahue.
Exactly.
Speaking of Phil Donahue, could I say something else?
Yeah.
You know, the man was Catholic, and he was one of those examples of Catholic in name only. He had no love of God or fear of God. And I think this Kavanaugh, he's probably a really good guy, but do we want 5 Catholics on the Supreme Court? Do we? If they would just think about putting up there Lee, what's his name, Senator Lee, with the right-wing conservative leader. If they would put him up there, as one person said, the left would go apoplectic. But they probably want to think that they could get by with a few things because of Kavanaugh's background. You know what I mean? Like Roberts let us down, and now... Roberts, I hear, when he goes around conservative groups, people start booing.
Yeah.
Lee, he wrote a book on why Roberts' decision on Obamacare was all wrong. They're supposed to. So I think he's a Mormon, and people will say, well, could we just get some plain old people up there that don't have a citizenship with a Vatican but do we really want a Mormon?
If it'll or Israel or power elite circles and C. Wright Mills fashion, a man of the people.
I just want to say that because he has 40, 50, I don't know, he's not that old yet. I think he's 46. He can still go along many years. And he has a background, outstanding conservative. And he knows what he's doing. And actually, the Democrats don't totally dislike him. They won't, they'll go nuts if he's nominated, but, maybe he won't even do it. Nobody can get him to say he would. He just said no comment one time. So,
yeah, we should definitely talk about that more at some point, too.
I don't want to be anti-Trump. I mean, but I don't want to be pro-Trump on anything he does because he doesn't want you to be. I think people said, well, he will listen to us. He will listen to us.
I think it was a sales pitch, personally, but yeah, unfortunately.
As a Bible goes, I thought, oh man, how's he going to get out of this here separating those kids from their moms down there? And it came to me the story of Solomon when he was two women claim the same baby. And he said, well, just cut it in half. And the real mother said, oh, no, let her have it. So he may be, I don't know, I don't want to second guess people. I don't like to do that. But he might have been thinking the real mother will come up and will keep trying to get that one. But the one that just got handed the baby, going in, because he's a real criminal, you know, and but with a baby, he's all right. His family, you know. I think the real mother's going to keep trying to get that kid back. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Good points. Good points, Pat. Okay. We're going to have to get back to the phones here. We appreciate your call, Pat, as always. Interesting points. Supreme Court nominations, we'll have to come back to that. It's all, I would say, like everything else, controlled. The folks that are paraded before the public are all part of the same old boys club, as Renee in North Carolina might say. And that last point, I would come back to that in the future too. Anyway, let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Jim in Illinois. Jim, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Greetings, friend.
Greetings.
Anyway, and fellow insurgent.
Good morning, sir. Yeah.
And fellow insurgent, and friends and fellow insurgents out there. Tuned in a little bit after 11, just as Mike was speaking, and I go, holy cow, man. He's speaking insurgency. And basically, what I'll have to indicate is that the administrative state, and I speak this loosely and in general term, is treating us as insurgents, okay? And we have to study the gospel, God's spell, the Creator's word, along with our organic law of our nation, these states united. We do this, we can use our mind as our primary weapon, and our spirit, the Creator spirit that He gives each one of us, the Holy Spirit of life, that sacred spirit of life, will speak to us. And when you you're able to do that, you can discern what the death cult priests and their acolytes are up to and doing. We have to use our minds, and we have to fight for life and protect life and live for liberty. This is our property as men. We are able to do that, as I indicated earlier, and be well-regulated militia. And at some point in time, we will have to move into a kinetic role. But prior to that and during that type of thing, we have to use our mind in various ways to fight to maintain our way of life and our custom. Mm-hmm. These people who have layered this new administrative state upon our constitutional administrative state are just members of the death cult, you know, and they have captured my government, your government, our government, mm-hmm. right? And they are now have weaponized it against all of us, and yeah. are slowly trying to change what's happening. It's not futile to resist. We will resist. We will win. You know, we will arrest these individuals. And I don't know. With that, I think I've said enough, and I would just encourage everyone to be well and be blessed with liberty. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Jim, as always. I appreciate it. Two things I reminded of. Again, Gustav Le Bon, if you do some research. Gustave Le Bon, who did he influence? From bad guys to, you know, I mean, Hitler, Mussolini, Lenin, sorts of archetypes to, you know, Bernays, Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, Charles Dawes, the American progressives. Very influential guy who talked about, you know, crowds exhibit a docile respect for force, blah, 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 blah. The crowd, a study of the popular mind, a quote I mentioned earlier. And then contrast that with what Frederick Douglass wrote about the Constitution, its language, we the people, not we the white people, not even the citizens, not we the privileged class, not we the high, not we the low, but we the people, not we the horses, sheep, and swine, and the wheelbarrows, but we the people. We the human inhabitants. You know, what he said about the Constitution and people, you know, we've been misled. Recapture and reclaim your mind. People, you know, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, I believe, sort of the operative concept. Remaining moments here. Let's go back to the phones. Jenna in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I just needed to follow up on Mike's call. Super great in, perspective. On Lark's blog, I looked at a KGB interview from 83 of Yuri Bezmenov, and it just shocked me about the infiltration ability. And so I started to look around, like, where is my power company owned by offshore group? Investing in social innovation, millions. And then I looked at the Binational Industrial Research Development Exchange with Israel and the millions of grants that are coming here and being exported back. And it just, it compels me to keep saying, you know, we've got to make our own food. We're making biochar and using our terrestrial assets that are around us before they're stolen.
Yeah.
And just to support that avenue of sustainability, growing your own food, and looking into biochar.
I think that's a great way to conclude today's broadcast. It's, you know, that is the antidote, I guess, to the giant laundering slash Ponzi scheme that is all things these days. Certainly big box. Thanks, Jenna. Appreciate it. Great way to end the broadcast. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.